Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Kenneth Furland.
Tony Keel.
John Archer.
Bauta Schneiders.
With guest co-host
Dwayne Wazinski.
Today we have the best surprise any podcast could give their listeners, which is...
We're going to 2 hours, Tony?
No, we're not going to 2 hours. That would suck.
Okay. That's what I thought you meant the surprise was, 2 hours.
The listeners can barely make it listening to our show before they get bored and turn it off. So 2 hours would be way too much. But even better, our long-lost friend, Wouter Lacutus Snyders, has decided to show up to the show.
So what was this good surprise you talked about?
You are the surprise, and we want you to... come down to America with clogs on and perhaps like a G-string and a tutu or something and do a dance for us.
Do you mind?
Could you jump out of a cake?
Not for you.
Oh, well, it was worth a try.
Well, there you go, Tony.
All right. Welcome to Modcast episode 31. Today we are joined with Kenneth Impaler WRG Furland.
Greetings, mortals.
John BTOz Archer.
G'day, everyone.
And with our very most favorite co-host, Wouter Lacutus Snyders, back from the grave.
Hello.
And me, Tony Garrett-Zaka Keel, hello, with our very special guest co-host, Dwayne Wiz-Sub-10 Wazinski.
Hello.
So this episode, I'm starting to get little shivers in my hands because I think it's going to be too much fun. I'm going to have a fun overload.
Already?
Already. Soon enough, I'm sure I'm just going to pop my top.
TMI.
too much information. Now, Wouter, what have you been doing these past 6 months? Did you, like, emigrate to a different country, or did you go up to Amsterdam, or what?
I was on a secret mission.
Oh, what were you doing?
Well, if I told you, it wouldn't be a secret now, would it?
Oh, we're all friends here on the Modcast, though.
No,
I was probably spying on Flanders.
Oh, really? Spying on Flanders?
Yeah, I had some ISP issues, but those have finally been resolved, so... I'm back now.
Well, weren't they charging you per megabyte?
No, we don't do that over here.
Oh, okay. Because I heard something like you had to pay per bandwidth in Europe, too.
No. That wouldn't be a good thing considering how much bandwidth we consume.
Did you, like, move or did it just break or what happened?
I still don't really know. It just was weird. Suddenly it didn't work anymore and... Yeah, they were blaming all sorts of different departments, and I was sent from one place to the next. I ended up just going to a different ISP, but that also took a few weeks to set up.
Yeah.
But did you have dial-up to at least send messages to anybody?
Dial-up? What is this dial-up thing you speak of?
You can get a hold of a free dial-up number.
Tony, you seem to be under the impression that, you know, like, the internet is more primitive in Europe.
Yeah. I don't think you can get less than 2 Mbit here.
Which is completely ass backwards.
Oh, very good.
Know?
Well,
it's like you're walking around Japan. It's like, you have electricity here?
Well, hey, you know what?
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea. You know, it's like, come on. There were even, by any standards, have better internet access in Europe than we do in America, Tony.
Well, you know what? Water could have leached through the walls with a wireless card. So
yeah, I mean, I had a wireless card for a while, but yeah, that still wasn't good enough for VoIP. So that's really a terrible thing. It's nice as an emergency, I guess. But
well, Water, I can speak for everyone else. We're so glad to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back.
The show has gone through the Australian duels.
Yeah, thanks to Rough Eye for replacing me. You did a really awesome job. I wish I could. Had a chance to work with him.
Yeah, you didn't meet him at all, or were you there when we first interviewed him?
Well, he's been on the show before, but would have liked to have worked with him more. We had some ideas for a different kind of show as well, but I guess that's, at least for now, not going to happen. Not just because he wasn't interested. Mm. I have some other stuff going on as well, but maybe in the future, who knows?
At least you got a little time to work with recording on the show. That's great. Today, in the news, we talked about the controversial art conversion from taking one piece of artwork from one game to another.
Yes, and today in the Sketchpad, we've been looking at blood splatter effects. by Cesareth.
Today in the Code Corner, we're going to look at a series of Python traits by CentCom 1.
In the spotlight, we talked about Civ 4 Gold and all the many civs that are in it. Here's what's been making the news in the Civ community.
We have a interesting news article, since it's not really an art article, almost a little controversial even. I want to talk briefly about art conversion from one game to another. Now, this can be illustrated quite clearly by Walter Hawkwood, who right now is the most prolific conversion expert in this forums right now. He's taking things out of several 3D games, from what I can tell. And he is posting them in Civilization 4 NIF format to be put right into Civ. Now, some people feel one way about this, some people feel another way. I feel that it's fine to do art conversion from one game to another as long as you plainly illustrate what game that came from in your post. What do you guys think?
Well, even if you're telling people what game it came from, it's still, you know, people are going to be downloading it who don't own the original game and are basically just using the free art content. There's really no ways around that. You're making it available. I mean, you know, so in a legal sense, you know, there's really no cover here.
Oh, really?
No.
See, but we're in an open source community of modding. Like, every time someone releases a mod here, no one pays for it. Well, BTS, a lot of us modders were there, and they would have had to, they couldn't have used this stuff.
Yeah, legally speaking, I mean, all these Star Wars and Star Trek and, I don't know, Battlestar Galactica and all these other mods that are out there are in the same position. I mean, you have absolutely no right to, even if you make the artwork yourself, it's all copyrighted stuff. So legally, you're not...
Well, that's not even as bad as this, because this is a direct taking of a file.
Legally, it doesn't matter.
It's artwork.
It's maybe a gradation worse, but it's both, you know, very questionable at the very least.
Well, actually, just making something based off the Star Wars universe, there's a little squeaky room there, because parody is covered under fair use.
Most Civ mods aren't parody.
Certain things like that, though. You're
so, yeah, so the Babylon 5 and the Star Trek.
It's like when Saturday Night Live wants to do a fake Star Trek skit. They can do that because it's...
How many parody Civ 4 mods have you played?
Well, I know that.
Not actually many. I don't really like those myself. I like to just have the regular Civilization real-world content myself. But that's...
Topic. But I mean, almost every game ever that could be modded has had stuff included from other games, and it's sort of, you know, generally accepted by the entire industry, by the entire gaming industry, because everyone knows, you know, people steal stuff from my game, but I get stuff imported into my game as well from other games.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, you scratch my back, I scratch your back.
I know that Paramount, who does Star Trek, they've got kind of a standing policy that they allow use of material as long as it's not for profit. And that's something they've had for years. So if you go online, you can see kind of like Star Trek has those fan-made episodes where they use the symbols and the props and everything. And as long as there's no money in exchange. So for that kind of stuff, the copyright holders made it clear that that's cool. But for things like...
That's just publicity, man. Yeah. That's just all free publicity. And that's why I said in the beginning, we need to have a plain linked notation to the source of these artworks, and needs to be like the first line: I ported these from Age of Empires, hyperlinked.
Well, yeah, even without that, that's pretty much been the sort of standing of most of the gaming industry for years as well. I mean, you see it happening all the time, and nobody's acting against it. As long as you're not charging for it, people are fine with it.
Yeah, that's the line, because as soon as you go get a Torque license or something, and you start making a production project that you want to sell to, like, Xbox Live or something, you've got to get licenses. You got to go talk to them with a lawyer. And, you know, it won't be easy to go from, you know, let's all play nice and have free games to, I want to make a buck. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Show me the money.
Yeah. In that case, you better be able to, like, present your f-ing case to their corporation and be like, I'm going to make you money. And that's how it'll work.
Well, a lot of this stuff now is, you know, just below the radar is why it doesn't get the action. I mean, that they're not losing a penny on it, and the amount it would cost the lawyer, you know, to go and, you know, basically harass these people who are sharing, you know, the NIF files from, like, Age of Empires or something, just ain't worth their time.
No.
But it is not technically legal.
It's like soft piracy, huh?
Have you seen the kind of stuff they do go after? Old grandmothers that are maybe downloading one MP3 here or there?
Yeah, exactly.
Trust me, the lawyers are not going to be discouraged.
Well, that's
that.
Because the RIAA is a bunch of... they have their panties in a, all bunched up, basically. They're the spawn of Satan, let's just say that.
The MPAA isn't much better, and they're not going after Star Wars or anything like that. So
yeah, because you see, the game industry is cool, unlike the RIAA.
Well, yeah, you know, bastard. Just I'd say this is okay for fun, for free, but you better throw those games props in your thread, highlighted, posted a couple times. Anyone asks you, say, hey, I got this from this game. Yeah. I didn't know that. But yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that should always be the case, even if you're borrowing other people's artwork that is original. I mean, if you're basing your leader hat on a different Civ 4 leader hat or something like that, always credit people.
Like, I think in the community, it's usually really, really good for that. Like, really good for saying, you know, this guy did it, I'm just adding this piece, or big thanks to this person for being the one that laid the foundation. But every now and again, you'll come across a mod that uses significant parts of another mod, and it's silent. And a lot of times I'll look through the credits. If I see stuff that I know is gold stuff, and I'll go and look and I'll see that it's missing from the credits, it kind of bugs me a bit because you think, you know, someone did a lot of work on that. And you just want to be able to say, like, thanks to so-and-so for doing it, because that's just the way it is. And if people are using, like Walter Hawkwood, he's mentioning where the units come from or the buildings come from. But if you are passing that stuff on as your own or just conveniently not mentioning it, then that kind of creates a bit of problems within the community, because then people don't know, you know, they don't want to trust you, they don't want to work with you, and that just makes it tougher for everyone.
Well, it's a controversial issue. You've heard a little bit from us. You decide for yourself, and if you're a modder, we've determined, I guess, download at your own risk, but I wouldn't sweat it. All right.
And let us know in the comments how you feel about it.
Oh, yeah, give us some feedback.
Yeah, needless to say, I can see why people do this, because these buildings are just gorgeous.
Yeah, these are gorgeous. Someone spent a lot of time.
This is really pro work, you can tell.
And quite frankly, for something like when we look for buildings for gold, if you're adding 10 civs, well, that's 10 buildings and 10 new units and 10, you know, and you don't want different colors of the same buildings all the time. People get sick of that. So when someone comes along and gives you more material, it's great, you know.
Yep. You heard it from the modder's mouth.
Yeah.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community. I have one piece of artwork today, but I'll tell you, this one is cool. A lot of people play some first-person mods or first-person shooter games from eras when they don't have the gore in the game. They don't have, like, the blood spurting. Like, I know Day of Defeat didn't have a great blood mod in the beginning. I don't know. Some games need better blood.
Yeah, isn't there, like, a setting where you can just make sparkles come out of all the zombies, you know?
Dude, so, you know, usually what happens if they're not using blood is the bullets hit. There might be a puff of dust at most. But, you know, the things... They usually have ragdolls allowed for low violence versions, but this is definitely not a low violence version. This is Caesaris Blood Mod.
Let me reemphasize that. Blood Mod.
If you see his screenshot.
And cue the 9-inch nail.
He's got. Yes. I'll have to ask him. I'll have to ask Trent for permission. Anyways. Let's see here. He's got some colonial-era riflemen shooting each other, and there's the nice puff of smoke from the rifle that we're used to, but where it hits the enemy troop, it is ripping him open. Like, there is viscera coming out of the wound, exploding out, and that is pretty bloody.
Yeah, it looks like something from a Japanese anime, you know, the heads explode, you know.
Oh, it's quite wonderful.
There are no head explosions, but it's pretty bloody looking. Now, I'm wondering, though, from a code perspective, does this effect have to be modified into every single NIF object and every unit that's in there as an effect before it can attach, or can you do this like globally somehow?
Well, it might just be an art effect that you can add through XML and possibly needing hex editing, but I don't know. That's for specific units. This looks like a new effect, much like a nuclear bomb or bullets flying through the air, arrows arcing over a hill to hit the enemy.
Yeah, all of the things that units shoot or puffs and pops and bangs are all a type of effect in the game.
Yeah.
Because they're separate from the actual unit NIF object and its mesh that allows them to kind of just fly all over the place. Like, didn't someone come up with a tornado effect that we featured earlier?
Yeah, I helped with that a little bit. That was more of a... you know, that spinning tornado wasn't an effect. It was NIF deal. I added a NIF animation to that.
Oh, then what is it, I think? The smoke out of chimneys on buildings. Isn't that an effect-based object?
Oh, yeah. I think so. And if not, some NIFs can make effects themselves, like the glow of a house when it's occupied in Civ. But there's certain things that are effects. As I said, nukes, bomb explosions, stuff like that. That's all effects. And some of the more boring, run-of-the-mill effects, like maybe smoke or the mine chugging through its actions, those are in the NIFs. And you can actually view those with the NIF viewer or the NIF scope, but as I said, you better read about 4 tutorials before you try doing something like that. But yes, there's a lot of ways you can animate these things. And this right here, he says, drop the zip into the art directory and add this XML in, and then you have blood. So this is an XML art-only mod. So it has art texture files and the effects, maybe a NIF for the effects that's specific to the effect. Yeah, I forgot to tell you, even the nuclear bomb is still a NIF file. It's just stored with the effects in a subdirectory only for effects, and it only appears when it's asked for. It's not a persistent, so... But all of these have to be NIF because we're using the Gamebryo engine.
Okay, okay. So, what type of, you know, I guess this goes without saying. What type of mod should have this? All mods. All mods that have anything organic, I guess.
Yes. Implement this mod. No, you could do it with guys in spacesuits, you know?
Well, no, I mean, like Battletech. I mean, Battletech should have
blood splatters.
Oh, we
could turn those into, like, plasma explosions with just some reskinning.
Oh, okay, if you, like, change the color, it's, like, coolant, you know?
Yeah, anyway, we could do all kinds of things with this mod. But the blood effects is great for any gritty medieval mod, or obviously here, a gritty colonial mod, or any basically part of human history which we didn't have robots. I guess it's all pretty gritty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've never really been good humans. But so this blood mod helps us...
You know, if the robots are Evangelions, you know, then you can use that too.
Well, yeah, we'll do it too, yeah. And I'll tell you what, you know, this takes Civ from just a friendly game of shoot 'em up to zoomed in all the way battles with blood and guts everywhere.
Yeah.
We could probably make this even gorier. I wonder if there's any way we could make this gorier. That's my question, Cesareth.
Well, I guess if you had a... the unit's actual skin changed to be covered with blood when they fell down.
Well, you know, you could just make it, you know, a generic skin, but...
You know how there's a damage, you know, a skin to a unit?
It would be tricky. It would be tricky to add that to everything. But yeah, you could do a damage state. You'd want to do it so it's not accessed at each individual unit. And if you'd want it to be a generic effect that somehow switches the skin on that effect, that would be hard to do. That would be really hard to do.
Technically.
But I was thinking more like maybe add some way to blood spatter on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Pools of blood. That would be kind of sick. Yeah, yeah. Cesareth has been... I said I would do this mod like a month ago, and it got skipped a week or two. And I just want to say, hey, bro, I threw your mod out there. That's for you, bro. Thanks for coming on our show way back when. Had to throw out the props.
And it's amazing that no one's done this until now. It's like it's kind of obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, but this is not an easy. This is no easy task.
Mm.
This is no easy task. This is up to Cesar's skill level. Trust me. Especially for it to be just an XML entry. You know what I'm saying? That means he did a custom NIF.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods or any other non-graphical mods in the Civilization 4 modding community. Okay, CentOM has created another a pack here of Python module individual downloads, each of which creates a new leader trait, which has all of its effects based in Python. They're a bit similar to Python-based wonders that we covered earlier. There was like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
And each one of them will have an event manager file that when you, you know, trigger the event, and you know, your special trait effect comes in. So he's got about a dozen of them here that do some pretty interesting things. There's like an influential trait, which doubles the length of all golden ages. A mercantile trait, which gives you increased food and hammers from each of your trade routes.
Ooh.
Resourceful, which can either do one of two things. -20% cost of buildings or -20% cost of units.
Oh, so you pick at the beginning. Look at the nomadic. That's sick. You get +100% gold from pillaging, and enemies can't pillage your cities, and you get double production of stable.
What I actually meant with the resource trait is he made two versions of that trait.
Oh, so you pick?
So he did. Well, no, I mean, you download either one or you download either the other.
So you have to pick before you put it in your mod.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean you pick it during the game. That's what I thought you were
saying.
Well,
I don't know. Which one do you think? Which one do you go? I'd go for units.
Yeah, since, you know, that's a little more interesting, I think, than having just buildings cheaper.
Yeah. Well, you could probably get put that building cost in its own... you could probably split these into different traits.
Yeah, I mean, it's all done with Python, so it's all easily... It's not as easy to modify as XML is after the fact. You know, it just it changed this number.
Yeah.
But the thing I was kind of a little disappointed is that he didn't use the XML... He didn't use Dr. Elmer Jiggle's Python Event Manager.
Mm.
He's just done direct code right in the Event Manager, which makes it a little harder to merge these together if I wanted to, say, use all of them at the same time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He didn't use the standard.
With the Elmer Jiggle's Event Manager, you can just do it by changing one line on the file. Just like uncomment this line, uncomment that line. Bam. It's good.
Yeah. Well, these are certainly interesting traits, I would say. I like the seafaring one at the bottom. These are great. And especially with someone with so many civs like Dwayne.
You know, I love the idea of having these. I was, you know, these would be terrific to add some diversity, because one of the things you always hear is with the traits that they have, you know, it ends up looking like the same leaders from game to game. The only, I had been looking at these before, and because we don't add Python to the mod, as a rule, we didn't add these. But what I think is kind of, you mentioned the seafaring trait looks a bit kind of huge, because you're giving the person sailing to start off with, though. And that's quite a huge, benefit to get from a trait.
Well, make sure you're out in the ocean right away.
Well, actually, the seafaring trait looks a little bland, and it only gives you a increased production capacity on one unit, Caraville. I would be thinking, you know, hey, I want 25% faster production for all ships if I'm seafaring.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that would have been all that.
But, you know,
maybe
I think
he's only
actually...
saying the sea only gets useful at Caraville. I don't understand that, though, because you need galleys.
Hey, the Polynesians are seafaring civilization, and they only got canoes.
This is true. This is true.
And then this last one, the agricultural trait here, new cities start at population of 2.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? Come on.
The Wonder, which one? The Hanging Gardens?
No, different game.
Which game? Tell me.
Smack.
Oh, that is Smaculous.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No, it's
yeah.
called the Planetary Transit System.
Oh, now I remember.
All cities start at population of 3.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, ridiculously unbalanced in the planetary transit system was. But a population of 2 is a little more reasonable.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's I think that's a strong benefit in comparison with some other ones. I think that one's really good. But hey, great code. Needs a little bit of maybe Elmer jiggling a little bit. We can always use a jiggle here and there from Elmer.
Yeah, I've seen that, you know, the use of his event manager has been declining somewhat. Maybe a lot of guys just aren't familiar with it now.
Ah.
As it's, you know, they think, oh, it's old school or something.
Maybe this way, I could not figure out the Elmer jiggle thing myself. I am not qualified to do any kind of Python scripting.
Well, what Elmer Jiggles did was basically a registration-based event manager, which is a pretty standard piece of protocol. I mean, there's action listeners, event listeners. Anyone who's done, you know, event-based programming would be familiar with it. It's basically just saying, you know, hey, get this chunk of code here and insert it in a list of things to do once A happens, you know. So it's like, and you can have as many things in registered underneath event A as you want. And then it can take them out, too, later. And that's all it's doing. At the beginning of the game, it's just registering the events. And then they just activate. Pretty straightforward.
Well, you heard it from the coder's mouth. I'm only in first year C++, so I can't say anything.
So, Tony, how's your...
Well, it's not language specific, Tony. This is
Tony, how's your Hello Print World going for your C++ programming?
Well, I'm stuck. I gotta go in to see my teacher tomorrow because I'm writing a program to calculate standard deviation. And I don't even really, I don't have a great grasp of that, you know, more basic calculus stuff, so.
You could copy off someone next to you, ask, distract them for a few seconds.
I've tried, you know, and my teacher doesn't mind us helping each other at all. It's not on tests.
Wait, Tony, so is it, you don't understand how standard deviation is actually calculated? Or you don't understand how to...
Well, my friend explained standard deviation to me, but now I have to write it with several void functions. I have to use arrays. I have to use parallel arrays. I have to have open file, and I have to open file, and then...
All of which has nothing to do with math, so...
close file, and then exit, and put an output file, and have it all displayed there in text format off the program. Well, no, I actually have to calculate the standard deviation and then output it. And
so the raw numbers come from a text file. It's a big list of numbers. Read the numbers.
Well, it's going to be small, but it could be a lot bigger.
Well, it doesn't matter how big it is. It's
it'll be up to 100.
It's a computer program. It could be a million numbers.
Well, see, we have to put
correct.
A limit. We put a limit on it. I could put the limit at 1,000, or I put the limit at 100. So
Tony, you have to program your system to be able to operate on a text file of any number of numbers.
Well, yes, but then again, I haven't learned that yet, so.
You know, there is nothing worse than, you know, like limiting the file input, you know, to a certain number of characters. That's
We're
so...
at like 1978 skill level right now. Let's just put it that way.
So, Tony...
You want to play some text Zork game or something.
Tony, do you take your little EPC with you?
Use vectors.
To school?
Oh, yes, I do. But, yes, I love my EPC, but I can't access the classroom network hard drive. So that's a bit of a pain. But other than that, the EPC is great.
The Spotlight is where we have a detailed discussion about one particular Civ4 mod.
Today we have a great modder on the show, Dwayne Wazinski, a.k.a. WizSub10 in the forums, is here because, well, not only being old school as hell, but he's also the creator of Civ Gold. Now, tell us, what is Civ Gold, Dwayne?
Well, you know, when Civ 4, when the modding started with Civ 4, there was a few people putting out their new Civs to add to the mix. And there were some really great mods, but there were a lot of mods of varying quality. You know, there was people adding, I had put out a Canada mod, someone had put out a Netherlands mod, a Portugal mod, and all the rest. So there were a couple of Civers at the time that were really kind of wrist-deep in everything. And Civo was one of them, who created the fantastic Civo mod. And we pulled together and decided it would be kind of nice to put together all the best quality single Civs we can find and make them consistent so that they were the same as all the Firaxis Civs, you know, with the same kind of text editing, the same kind of pictures. And then as time went by and people started getting better with modding graphics, we created Civ Gold to kind of be like a one-stop shop for all the new Civs that people were putting together. So that's in a nutshell.
So, how many SIVs have you accumulated up to this point?
Right now, we're just close to about 100, about 92, 93. And when 5.0 comes out this month, we'll have added 115, I think. And that's in, that, you know, taking into account, too, that we had added all those extra Firaxis SIVs that came out in Warlords and Beyond the Sword, and then we stripped those as time went by. So, I mean, we put in really like over 130 when it all said and done, if you count the count those.
That's quite interesting.
Mm. There's some links to some really nice portrait-y, I mean, like the little gallery pictures you put together mm-hmm. of all your leader heads.
Yep.
I always found those to be very impressive quality on these leader heads. You know, you basically pick the very best of the best out there.
Yeah, I think...
You know, we got Scotland, Siam, Tibet, Sweden, every country you could possibly think of, and a lot of countries that most people probably couldn't think of either.
Yeah, we kind of took the approach, you know, the first goal that we put together was kind of the obvious ones that were missing, you know, Korea, Portugal, Netherlands, you know, that vein. But what we wanted to do with each subsequent expansion was look not only at covering geography, but covering time. So, you know, geographically, we added more African and Asian civs because those were always missing. But then we wanted to look and say, well, look, you know, we're going to add some really ancient kind of Stone Age cultures all the way up to like modern states. So, you know, where you have Canada and Australia and New Zealand as more of the modern states, we've also gone and put in like the old Yang Shao culture from China. And a lot of native cultures, like they added the Tupi and the Yanomami and all this, so that we could kind of have a real, you know, no matter what scenario you were cobbling together, if you wanted to do a World War II scenario, or if you wanted to do a Rise of the Mediterranean, you know, you could go to Civ Gold and you could strip out what you needed that would hopefully fit that time and place that you were trying to work with. So that's what we wanted to do.
Wow, there's like page after page of custom leader heads in here. Holy crap. Is there any of my stuff in here?
Probably. I mean, you're definitely in the credits. I'd have to go back and look. The problem with the way we credited people is that over the course of, like, this project started back in, oh, God, what was it, 2004, 2003? And, you know, by the time we got to where we are now, we've added so many pieces of, you know, custom buildings and units. And so we've got a big, long list of credits, but we haven't done a great job of attributing specific pieces of material. Because what's happened is you'd have a guy come out, like Bernie, and he'd, you know, Bernie 14,
yeah, yeah.
I think that's the correct name. He'd come out, and he'd do these great units, right? But then somebody would come along, and they just reskin it a bit to make it exactly what we needed. And then the third person would come along, and they changed the weapon. And all of a sudden, we've got this custom unit with, you know, three or four guys that go on the credit list for that. So, like this, the one thing I'm really proud of is, with this project, is there's probably about 40 to 50 different modders who have had a good hand in this. You know, like a guy...
It's like everybody on this list looks like everybody.
Yeah, it's really, really been a good... and everyone's been really supportive, you know. Like we've kind of put a shout-out and said, you know, we're looking for this particular kind of building, or we need this particular kind of unit, or flag, or whatever. And sure enough, someone's come along. Like Ekmek, who does those amazing leader heads, you know, he's really picked up a lot of the slack in the past couple of years as some of the guys leave the program. He comes along and he's got all these great leader heads and it's really been great for us to have guys like that around.
Now, to what extent are you using the modular systems to essentially have these guys, you know, easier to pick from? I mean, most people wouldn't want to include 100 plus leaders and additional civs in their game, because that would probably blow up most people's RAM to actually load that.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, one of the big complaints we get all the time is, you know, I loaded your mod and 5 minutes later, nothing. You know, I'm still waiting. Well, it does take a long time. We tried compressing files and packing them, but sometimes they don't run properly on all systems when you do that. But in terms of modular, they're completely modular. If you don't want to have a SIV in there, the only thing you need to do is delete or add the folder, the same with the leader head. The only problem is that Firaxis still hasn't gotten around to making sounds modular, or the diplomacy file is still a shared file. So if you downloaded the 100 sieves, and you only want 20, you download the other, get rid of the other 80. Well, you're still going to have that diplomacy file that's got all those leaders in it, so you'll get those errors every time you start. It won't affect the gameplay, but you'd have to go in by hand and delete them all, and it's a pain in the butt, but that's kind of what we're handcuffed with.
Those errors will just come up in a text error file. You won't actually, I think there's a way to suppress those errors at the beginning of loading, so you'd not actually hit with a million pop-ups.
If there would be a way to suppress them, that would be great. I don't know how to do it. It's not something we've looked into, but as you mentioned it, that would be really great for us because, that's of course one of the things we get a lot is people, you know, they want Finland, Sweden in there, but they don't necessarily want, you know, Denmark and Latvia and everything else. So, we tell them how to edit it with the caveat that they're stuck with those pop-ups. But yeah, if we could find a way to do that, that would make everyone happy.
Mm. So you're not using any custom DLL at this point distributed with your asset?
No, a while back.
They're just data file, basically.
That's right. A while back when the Lopez was still doing a lot of work in the community, I had asked him to help us out with doing some DLLs, and he agreed to, and we did some work, but we never implemented it because at that time, the Civilization, the modular project, at this point, Beyond the Sword hadn't come out. They hadn't gone modular yet from Firaxis' point of view, and so we didn't want to fool around too much with DLLs because we knew what kind of a nuisance they were for people who just wanted to kind of pick and choose.
Mm, yeah. A lot of people do like to, you know, use one DLL and then a different set of assets and combine them.
Probably wouldn't hurt to have some interface Python scripting for a mod like this.
Yeah.
How so?
Just to make it easier to go through such a huge list of sieves and leaders.
You mean like when in the Pedia? Just because the lists are so long?
The Pedia, and when you select your sieve and when you press play, play now, the list must be huge.
Yeah, it is.
And do you actually have a function that allows you to play 100 sieves on that map?
No, we've kind of left that up to the community, and sure enough, with every release, there's been someone who's followed up behind with a DLL that can accommodate more and more. I think the biggest, there is a DLL out there that I think lets you squeeze about 90 on.
That's nuts.
But I don't even know what kind of a game you would play at 90 sieves even on the biggest map. I think you'd be kind of, your turns would be once an hour if you're doing that, but it is out there if you want to do it.
Yeah, and you'd all be like one city each, you know, until...
Yeah, I mean...
It's like playing a play-by-email by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. See, what I like...
It's like March Madness, you know, everyone starts with one city, and then, you know, then everyone conquers another city, you know, and now we've got 32 teams left.
What I kind of see being the value of something like gold is just variety, right? Like, so... You know, you could still play with 10 or 12 sieves, but you'd have something different every time, and that would be kind of neat. So.
Now, I have a question. When is enough enough? When does Civ Gold have too many sieves?
Oh.
Or are you just going to put every single great Civ, like a real quality Civ someone comes out
Tony,
with?
Tony.
Are you going to...
Enough is never enough.
No. This mod is way past enough already. That stage has long since been left behind.
The ultimate kitchen sink mod for sieves. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? You can really customize what you're going to play. You know, you can have games from a specific region. If there's enough sieves, you could basically make a scenario for any region in human history.
Well, I think that's a good question because one of the things we tried to do with 5 is get up to 100, and we're going to be over 100, but it was a round number, and it was just, and I agree, like, you got to stop somewhere, because at some point, you run out of time. But what I am noticing is every day I go back to the Civilizations forum, and I check the Civilization request for, thread, and I see what people are asking for. And I find that lately, the good news is, in the last couple of months, people are asking for stuff we already have, or they're asking for stuff planned in 5. And very rarely do I see something out there that we don't have. So we'll probably stop when it seems clear that the community's not really asking for anything. So
Hittites.
Ken wants to know if you have Hittites.
Yes. Yeah.
That's old school.
Yeah, we've got, and we're adding a second leader to the Hittites for 5.0. So you'll have two leaders.
Oh, my God.
I know some of my artwork is buried in there. I've done a few that were some of my personal favorites, and I know they got picked up.
Yeah, guaranteed. Guaranteed. In fact, you are among, we've got about five or six special thank yous, and you're one of them. Along.
Oh man, I didn't even see that in the forum.
Yeah, because there are a few people like yourself and like Ekmek and guys that have really, like, we've taken a lot from. So like I said, because we haven't done a great job with crediting everything, you know, we try to at least make it clear that there's some people that just did a lot of work in there.
And just on a side note, people may not be familiar with it, but we had an old project called the CCCP.
Right.
And that's now been taken over, essentially, by Wiz here. And he's already been using it to keep Civ Gold content on. We were kind of sharing it, but I just, you know, basically passed the torch to him on that little project. So he's now the administrator of that.
You know, it'd be sick.
SourceForge, you know, project.
You know, it'd be sick as shit if you took CCP and you merged it with Civ Gold.
Yeah, there's.
Well, you see, the thing is,
that would be sick.
CCCP code never went past Warlords. There was never a BTS version of it.
Oh,
and
crap.
I just didn't have time to be doing stuff with it anymore.
That sucks.
So, code-wise, there's really no activity there. But it's being used now as basically a content library.
Yeah.
To basically as a backup source for all this Civ Gold content.
Well, has anyone out there updated?
It won't be lost. Even if CFC blows up and everyone's hard drive is wiped out, and it's still on SourceForge. Yeah.
Is that a threat to CFC, Ken?
No, not at all.
I'm just wondering, did anyone out there update the CCCP project and kind of take it? And isn't the bug mod basically the same thing?
No, bug mod is basically Python oriented, and CCCP was DLL oriented.
I remember. Yeah, now I remember. And
bugs, stand for unaltered gameplay. That's what the U and the G stand for. But CCP was heavy on game alteration.
Well, it's out there right now. Anybody who wants to see if they can take up the hat of updating that to BTS from Warlords, you heard it here on the show. No one's doing it.
Well, actually, I think the big thing right now is World of Civ. That's really the predecessor. I mean, the continuation of it in spirit. It's a very DLL heavy, big framework, big change. You know, kitchen sink DLL concept.
Very interesting. Well,
okay. Back on topic.
Oh well, yeah, we had to go in there a little bit. So, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Let me ask you some personal questions.
Sure.
Where do you live, and what do you do?
I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So I'm the west end of Canada. Just kind of, if you went to Denver, Colorado, and went straight north for a long time, that's where I am.
Real moose country.
Yeah.
When you look out your window, you probably see trees everywhere, don't you?
Well, lots of trees here, absolutely, yeah. Right now, I still see a lot of snow, so that's the downfall.
Oh, so you're snowed in, okay.
Yeah.
That and tar sands.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about, it's a little bit north of here, but yeah, that's certainly where we, brings in a lot of business here. And for work, I'm a business consultant. I work in healthcare with physicians and hospitals, and I do some business work with them regarding their information systems and electronic records.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah.
Ooh, electronic medical records.
So I'm a hired gun. I kind of go to project, and I've been at the one I'm at here in Alberta for about 2 years.
Well, if you were in America right now, you'd be busy because Obama's setting up to do that here in America.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny you should say that because there was a couple of my colleagues the other day talking about branching out and looking to the U.S. for to do some work there for this very thing. So
hey, you never know.
It's a little harder for me.
Oh, do you have a family or
never
anything
know.
There?
I do. I got two small boys. I've got a 5-year-old and a 19-month-old. So we're kind of rooted here for a little while.
Yeah, that sounds like it. But there you go. Busy up in Canada. Ally of Daniel Quick by blood. There you go. Dan Q would be like, woohoo, another Canadian. Finally.
I would say it's more of a maple syrup rather than blood bond, but either way.
Depends on their their blood level for maple syrup when they get a DUI. They're like, okay, blow you into this DUI machine. Sir, your maple syrup content's a little high. You're going to have to come in.
No, you mean the blood content of your maple syrup is low.
Now, you've come a long way, Dwayne, with from your original Civ Gold, from the old vanilla Civ days. Where do you see a future for your incarnation for Civ Gold? Will you eventually convert it over to Civ 5?
Well, I think what we'll do here is we'll, 5.0 is coming out. We just released a Nature of Man mod a little while ago, which was basically just additional leaders and a couple of Civs that were kind of those leaders that were always causing controversy in the community. You know, did you add Hitler? Do you not add Hitler or Mussolini? So we made a mod just for that. We said, here's these guys, Pol Pot and all the rest, take them or leave them. We're going to roll that into 5.0. We're going to add a bunch of Civs. So we'll be at about 115 or something when we're done. And I think at this point in time, I think Civ 5 will probably be it. Like, I think, if there's one or two Civs that come along after that, that people say, oh, you know, I'd like that to be in there. We might create little add-ons for that or make it easy for the person to add it on. But, I can't think of a part of the world or a part of the, you know, human history that we haven't gotten a good foothold in. So I think we're pretty much done after this.
Well, you know, Civ 5 is going to come out, and it's going to be, in my mind, completely revised. No similarities to Civ 4 in many ways, but just moddable. There'll be a whole new community producing artwork, and they'll be waiting for you to come in there and compile it all into your massive Civ mod.
And you'll have to start all over again.
I know, and I'm dreading that, too. I'm dreading it, because I think you're exactly right, right? Like, if nothing else, the artwork is not going to port. So, at the very least, yeah, you're going to be starting over.
Well, let me ask you guys all a general question. I'm going to end this topic. All right, you know the Civ 3 guys. All right, you know about the Civ 3 guys and Civ Fanatics and Apollotan. A lot of them have stayed with Civ 3, you know, 5 years into Civ 4 coming out. Now, are we going to be stuck in Civ 4, or are we going to move on? Like a few of the three guys did.
Really, only a handful of people are still in Civ 3, but Civ 2 lived on for a very, very long time, because that was just a very good... And yeah, Civ 4 is at least it's not better than Civ 2, so yeah, I'm guessing a lot of people are going to stick with Civ 4 for a while.
My thought is that the more similar the two games are in their actual gameplay, and again, how easily you can transfer content mod-wise, you couldn't transfer anything from 3 to 4.
No.
And it was really a very radically different game in the sense of, you know, what Soren did and what, and that tends to make for a different player community and different modder community.
Yeah.
So the closer two games are, so it's like when Warlords and BTS came out, bam, it's all
the same
stuff.
No, those are the same game.
The mod community just completely abandons regular Civ 4 and moves to Warlords and then moves to BTS, you know, so...
Yeah, I agree.
It all depends on the similarity.
Well, we still have to install our Civ 4 disk.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on, too, what Boundaries 5 pushes in terms of tech, right? Because what I'm seeing now on the forums is a lot of people that are into... And like you said, I mean, 4 has been around for a while now. But there's still a lot of people saying, you know, I can't run this, I can't load it, I can't get the graphics I want, I got to use the non-shaders, and that's causing a problem. So people are still kind of saying, you know, the technology... I might not be able to run Civ 4 optimally. So when 5 comes along, you know, what kind of demand is it going to make? And is it going to make such a demand that people are going to stick with 4 because they're just going to be catching up to that point in terms of their system?
Well, I think any game released, you know, within the next few years will require that you have a computer from something later than 1999.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly
reasonable.
Yeah.
If someone can't play Civilization 4 now, then their system is probably 10 years old.
Exactly. I have a 7-year-old system, and it can play Civ 4 just fine, so it has to be even older than mine.
Yeah.
Mine too. I think mine's actually from 2000. But it was really high-end at the time, so...
Mine's from last year. I have a last year system.
Yeah, and mine's got a motherboard that's about 3 years old, but the processor's a year old, and my video card's a month old. So I'm up to date.
In 2 months, I will have an all-new system, so I should be good for Civ 5.
Woohoo! Router gets a new computer. New computer, dance, Router. Wear your clogs all day. Hello, I like to dance in clogs. Wear those clogs.
Right. Moving along.
Calling today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44, 121, 288, 76, 59. That's 44, 121, 288, Poly. You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at polycast@polyton.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast or our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolyton.net.
Today, you know, we had a lot of fun. We have our long-lost Wouter, home at last. Home at last.
Okay. Welcome back.
Slowly backing away.
And we will never be separated
yes.
again.
Never, ever let go.
Tony, we can always... Tony, we could always sing the theme of Welcome Back, Potter.
Oh, no.
Yes, and we're back on three continents again.
Yeah, how many continents are we on? We're on one,
three.
Two, three continents today.
Okay. That was a little slow, but...
Yeah, what can you do? But I had too much fun today. This was great. Wouter, we're so glad to have you back. I can't even put it all into words. And by the way, we're going to be getting up an hour earlier now for Wouter to get up. Sorry, John.
What?
Can you get up 1 hour earlier?
Oh, think about it.
All right. Dwayne?
Yep.
I hope you're not completely scared, because you should be. Did you have fun on the show today?
I had a great time. You know what? This is about... one time every 6 months that I get a chance to talk about SIB with anyone, let alone people that are still involved in the community. So, yeah, I had a great time. It was fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, it's hard for me, too, because all my real-life people, none of them mod SIB. None of them.
My wife listens to me, but that's because she kind of has to.
Well, my wife, when I was working on my mod, she would get kind of irritated. How about you leave your mod alone for a minute? Well,
you love your mod more than you love me.
All right. Today, we have been joined with Wouter, Lacutus, Snyders,
hi.
Kenneth, Impaler WRG, Ferlin,
farewell,
John, BT Oz, Archer,
bye-bye, everyone.
Me, Tony Garrett, stuck keel, goodbye. I'm going to go take some medication. And with our very special...
And let the cat out of the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to let the cat out. And our very, very, very special, long overdue guest co-host, Dwayne Wisdom 10 Wazinski.
Thank you very much.
All right. We will see you guys again in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Record date, April 5th, 2009. Sound clips copyright Civilization 4 and the Warlords and Beyond the Sword expansion packs.
Copyright 2009, Apolliton Civilization site at apolliton.net.